Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you and welcome to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministry Church here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. Good to be with everyone today. Wherever you are listening in from, it is the 14th day of December 2017. There is a very familiar passage of scripture in the book of Amos that tells us that God will not do anything unless he first reveal it to his prophets. And why does God speak to his prophets? So that the prophets will prepare the people for what the Lord is doing. And so we thank God for all those prophetic voices out there that are telling the body of Christ what God is about to do. And this is a wonderful gift to the body because, you know, the world has its own prophets. And Hollywood seems to be a prophet at times to the world, right? But God is speaking directly to his people. You have to delineate. You have to really separate this to see the reality in it, is that the church, made up of men and women, not an institution, not an organization, but the church of Jesus Christ is organic. It is about you as an individual. It's about me. We are the church set in the body by the Holy Spirit's desire, not our own. And God has a message for us. And he tells the church, you're not of this world. You're in it, but you're not of it. You use it, but you don't abuse it. You never depend on it or become so needy of the world's things that you become dependent upon it. God is telling his people, just like Israel, when they came out of the Egypt, God brought them into the wilderness. There was no nation. There were no grocery stores. There were no, you know, barber shops or medical, you know, doctor's offices. None of that existed in the wilderness. And yet God took care of his people for 40 years. Nobody's shoes wore out. God always provided food. God always provided water. So what is God saying? Listen, I am God, he says, and I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. And you're in this world, but don't live in this world in the brief moment you have in your life as though your life depends on the world system, because God is about to shake the world system like it's never been shaken before. And yet it's a culmination of what has been in the past, whether it be the shaking of the Egyptian Empire or the shaking of the Assyrian Empire or the shaking of the Babylonian Empire or the Grecian Empire or the Medo-Persian Empire or even the Roman Empire or the Ottoman Empire or the British Empire. And in these last days, America seems to be the head of nations. And God is saying that all over the world, not just in America, but all over the world, the system of the nations has been built, and it is going to crash. God is going to shake the nations of the earth, and you have to be ready for that. Now, when everything is shaken, which is a biblical reality. You want to be in the right place, prepared, because God has given you what to do. Remember something very important. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of the earth. God says, if I'm hungry, I'm not going to ask you for bread. I have the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to me. When Jesus was needing to pay a tax bill, what did he tell Peter to do? He said, go down to the ocean, go down to the lake and fish. And the first fish that you bring up, there's a gold coin in his mouth. And sure enough, it happened. See, God, the earth is his. Men are managing it right now. They're managing it with nuclear arsenals. They're managing it with governments. They're managing it with all different ways of their own. They have rejected the ways of God, because if man had not rejected the ways of God, the earth would not be in the condition that it's in. There would be no poverty. There would be no war. There would be none of that. What exists? The sickness, the disease, the hospitals, the prisons. If man was operating according to God's ways, there would be such a minimal effect of what is what we call dark in the world today, and the ever-increasing light of Christ would go on. So you're in the world today. I'm in the world today, and God is speaking to you and I, saying, I'm about to do something that is on the behalf of my people. At the same time, the world is going to shake violently. The world systems. You got to understand what we're talking about here. The financial system, the, you know, every kind of transportation system. The traveling industry around the world, you know, the luxury industry around the world, all systems are about to undergo a violent shaking, and great will be the noise of the collapse of these things. But God is saying to you, come with me into the wilderness where I have prepared a place for you to be able to not only survive, but to thrive, so that all of your needs will be met according to my riches and glory. Again, if you're depending on the world system, the banking system, the CDs or Wall Street or, you know, your investments, do not depend on those. You see, what God does when a person is wise and puts God first, when a man or woman is wise and puts God first, and they begin to support, they begin to go into the financial aspects of the kingdom of God first, well, God will give them wisdom on where to invest in the world system, so that their investment in the kingdom of God will be met with a financial reward from the wisdom God will direct them in. But God does something more than just give back to what one is given. God literally increases the fruits of righteousness. Now, I had nothing in my heart wanted to go in this direction this morning, so let me shift just a little bit here, and I want to just talk about some of the things that God is doing in our generation at this time. So first of all, here's a message was given by Glenda Lomax. Now, Glenda can be heard on the Omega Radio Network every day, Monday through Friday, and her time, I believe, is at 8:30. Let me get to the lineup and I tell you exactly when Glenda Lomax is here. And well, I'll do that in just a second. But anyways, this is the word she brought out. She wrote this. This is her ministry. She lives in a pretty secluded place, as I understand it. And she is just like locked in with the Lord. And she has a radio ministry. She has a YouTube ministry. She has all kinds of stuff that she's doing, but she has a writing ministry at all. And a couple of days ago, which was interesting, this was on December 12th, Tuesday, the very same day here on the Omega Radio Network that I was reading in Joel about prepare for war. And remember, we talked about what the word prepare means, how you consecrate yourself unto God. Well, that same day, Glenda wrote this word, my children, in all countries, you must begin preparing now for war. War is coming. And it will spread quickly throughout the world. Everything in your world is about to change, and you are not ready. Troops will fill your streets, and much destruction shall abound. Many millions will die a fiery death, and grief will be widespread. There is nothing you can do to stop this, so you must prepare now. Prepare now by considering the ways of your life. Now, weren't we just yesterday in Haggai, consider your ways, consider from this day forward? So she wrote, prepare now by considering the ways of your life will change when much of what you know is suddenly taken away. You see, again, if you're connected to the world system, there's going to be loss. That's why Jesus said, a wise man will hear my words, build his house upon the rock, and when the storms of life come, he will remain. And that's why the word of God says, in a time of famine, you shall have plenty when you know where your source is. I'm telling you that the central banks are not your source. The job you're at is not your source. It is what God has guided you to do to be a provision for you at this time. But as you use that to, again, sow into the kingdom of God, put God first in your life, in every area of your life, God will continue to open doors of opportunity for you. But we have to become aware that there is a taking away. There's a removal for everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that only that which can remain will remain. That's in Hebrews. So again, she was writing that this is going to come suddenly and there's going to be loss. Consider the famine and disease that often come with war, because they will come with this one and they will be very long lasting. Famine and disease, war, loss, millions of lives. I mean, this is an intense word. Your lives will change in ways you never expected and never dreamed. You must strengthen your faith and prepare to have much endurance, for it will be required in what is coming. Yes, God has his voice all over the world warning the wicked to repent and the righteous to prepare. And that is just a reality. And you know what's going to seal the deal? Your faith and my faith is going to seal the deal on being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. So I want to share with you, because again, some people would get afraid of that word. I don't think we should be afraid. I know we shouldn't be afraid. There's only two reasons why people fear what a message like that is. Number one, they're not prepared. Number two, there's ignorance. In other words, there's a blindness, there's a darkness, there's an unbelief, they don't believe, whatever. So ignorance causes people to bury their head in the sand, so to speak. So I want to continue in a mini-series. This is just a little mini-series. Yesterday, as you were listening to the broadcast, I shared with you something that I felt was supernatural. It was beyond the normal. It was about that day, 9/24, and how God was speaking about the great shaking within that context. And let's go over a little bit of that ground, just in case we weren't fully awakened to what is happening. I want to go back just for a moment to the book of Haggai. Let's go back to the book of Haggai for just a moment, and let's read in chapter 2, because in context, as you remember, it was on the 12th of December, in the Hebrew calendar, was the 24th day of the ninth month in the Hebrew calendar. And I was reading in the book of Haggai where it says in verse 6. Let's go ahead and read in verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake. Now listen, if you have a piece of paper, write this down. I will shake what? The heavens, number one. And the earth, number two, and the sea, number three, and the dry land, number four, and I will shake all nations, number five. Okay, so there's the shaking. Now, let's go on to verse 20. In verse 20 of Haggai, again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month. This is the ninth month, the 24th day. Twice it talks about it in chapter 2. And he says, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Okay, there's a repeat. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I'll overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. And the horses and their riders shall come down. So there are five things particularly that God says he's going to shake: heaven, earth, the sea, the dry land, and the nations. Now, the nations and the kingdoms are one and the same. So I want to go through those five things. Where do we find that kind of a shaking? I could also show you in the book of Isaiah, God talks about a great shaking. I could show you in the book of Hebrews, God talks about a great shaking. There are great shakings throughout the entirety of the Old Testament and the New Testament, but there is a major shaking of those five things that we need to be cognizant of. And to begin, let's go once again to Revelation chapter 6 and look at verse 12, because here, Revelation 6, verse 12, it encompasses each one of the five parts that are talked about in Haggai. Now, remember, the reason why Haggai is significant right now is because on Tuesday, December 12th, I was studying the word in preparation for a sermon, and I was reading in chapter 2 of Haggai about the 24th day of the ninth month. It's in there three times. And it turned out that that very Tuesday that I was reading turned out to be the 24th day of the ninth month in the Hebrew calendar, because I wanted to know, well, when is the 24th day of the ninth month? Well, it's not talking about the Gregorian calendar. And so when I looked, there it was that very night. And so there's something significant, and tied to the 24th day of the seventh month is the prophecy of the prophet Haggai declaring the greatest shaking in the days ahead. And so while there have been shakings in the past, we know that there's going to be another great shaking. Now listen to Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. I've been saying for many years now that the first five seals in the book of Revelation have opened. I believe that with all of my heart. The first four horses have left the gate, and the fifth seal was just a glimpse into the realm of those who have been killed and martyred. They're told to wait until the rest of the martyrs are killed like them. And I've been saying we're waiting for the sixth seal. This has been my belief. There could be others. I could be right. I could be wrong, but it's my belief. But here is another consistent theme. I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, the opening of this seal may represent the opening of a dispensation, which we've been talking about, and why God wants you to be positioned and get ready for your assignment while you're on the earth. So there was a great earthquake. Well, what is an earthquake? That shakes things up, doesn't it? That removes things. An earthquake, that's what happens. So this begins with a great earthquake, and what does it affect? The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. So God says in Haggai, I'm going to shake the heavens. All right, there's the heavenly shaking right there. The stars falling like cometary impact. There's a meteor shower going on right now here over, you know, in the skies. A massive meteorite shower is taking place. But the time will come when the stars or the comets or the asteroids will fall towards the earth, like when a fig tree is shaken by a mighty wind. So there we have the heavenly shaking. Verse 14, the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain, all right, there is the land. I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. So mountains are on the earth and they are on the dry land. And I'm going to shake what? Every mountain and every island. Islands are in the seas. So he's going to shake the seas. The islands were moved out of their places. So the mountains were moved out of their places. The islands were moved out of their places. They were just moved, like in Fukushima when, you know, we have the Indonesia massive tsunamis, Japan, and March 11th, 2011. These islands actually moved. That big mountain over in, I believe it's India, that was a couple of years ago through a massive quake, literally moved out of its place. And so the violent shaking here is going to move every mountain, every island out of its place, out of their places. And then, so there you have so far, you have the earth, you have the land, you have the sea, you have the heavens, and then 15, the kings of the earth, the great men, all right, so the kings. Now, to be a king, you have to have a kingdom. He said he was going to shake the nations. He was going to shake the kingdoms, right? So here, the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So obviously, this sixth seal is touching everything that the prophet Haggai said would be touched. It's touching the heavens, the earth, the dry land, the sea, and the kingdoms of the earth. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, if we just go back a few verses and we get to Hebrews chapter 12, here's what the writer of the book of Hebrews had to say. And so let's begin in verse 25. So in Hebrews chapter 12, 25, see that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken shall remain. Wherefore, we, you and I, brethren, receiving a kingdom, which we did when the Holy Spirit came into our lives, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, why did I say that when the Holy Spirit came into our lives, we received the kingdom? Well, in Romans chapter 14, let's go there real quick, because somebody may ask a question. What do you mean by that? Well, Romans chapter 14, verse 16, I believe it is. Let's see if I'm in the right place, or maybe it's where is it at here? 14. Here it is. So 14:16. It says this, Romans 14:16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God, that's the kingdom that is unmovable, unshakable. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Wow. So the kingdom of God is not a matter of meat and drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when you and I receive the Holy Spirit, he brings the kingdom, which is a kingdom of peace, joy, and righteousness into our lives. So now I want to ask you a question. In light of the fact that the Word of God, and just in case you're not familiar with this, it may be a good idea to just peruse, even though I've done it so many times, we could go back to Isaiah chapter 2. Let's do that just for a moment. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 2 and see the continual theme of Scripture unfold before our eyes. It says in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 10, enter into the rock and hide there, or hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man, and I really believe this is the prophetic word for this hour, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Hallelujah. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon are the high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. Boy, it sounds like there's going to be a great shaking, doesn't it? Well, listen what it says, 17. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. The idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go in the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he rises to what? Shake terribly the earth. Oh, my goodness. Verse 21 says, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. You see, it is a constant theme in Scripture, the times that God will shake things up. He will move things. He will upheaval things. And that's what I want to read to you about today, because many years ago, I was writing an awful lot. And yesterday, I shared with you a little bit about the things that God was saying were going to happen at this time. And I want to share with you just a little bit more today. This is out of a series from 2003. I wrote this in the month of May, and it is part of the It Is High Time series, which I'm going to be putting into a book, by the way, because I believe God's people need to hear these words. So what can we expect in the days that we're living in? What, you know, what, how does this fit into your paradigm and my paradigm, my way of life, your way of life? You're a believer, I'm a believer. You're black, I'm white. You're Pakistanian, you're Jordanian, you're Venezuelan, you're European. Well, here I am, and I'm an Italian-American born again. Hallelujah, and so are you. But we're all different, and we all have different cultures to a degree, and we do things differently, and we have different personalities. Each one of us are uniquely made. We're not the same. But God's message is the same to every one of us. And so what does God want to say to you as he is forewarning you, foretelling you of the great shaking that is about to happen any moment now? It could happen this afternoon. That's how at the door it is. This has been the warning of God for years, decades. God has been warning this nation. God has been warning our generation. We are a unique generation. Never in over 1900 years has Israel been regathered as a nation fulfilling Bible prophecy like in our generation. If anybody tells you different, turn them off. That is a prophetic sign. Israel being a nation within our generation, come on. And then the technological explosion from Daniel chapter 12 happening in our generation. Don't think for a second, oh, they said that before, they said that before. No, no, no. This has never happened in any historical past. We are a unique generation. God is speaking to us. He's telling us this great shaking is coming. It's going to happen. And so listen to this word written 14 years ago, but it's coming out of obscurity, and it is coming to light today. Let's see what it says. Number one, I am coming to shake up the, listen to the word, I am coming to shake up the approved social order of the day. Number one, I am coming to do great injury and wrong to that which is not of my father. My nature contends with the nature of the beast. This nature of the beast is in the heart of men who have not been sanctified by my spirit. That which has not been fully sanctified remains an offense to me, and I will be an offense to it. Yes, I will offend the beast in this hour. I will release a shockwave of glorious power that will cause the beast to reel to and fro like a drunken man. The nature of the beast has cleverly entrapped my people and has caused them to err in their hearts concerning what is acceptable to my father. A learned practice of what is acceptable to men has been the standard by which men have been judged. Yet that standard shall be fully violated in this day. Religious leaders have led my people into complacency and have lulled them to sleep with their fairy tales and ideas that originate in their own minds. Their words are not my words, for their words carry no sanctifying power. Their words carry no influence in the realms of darkness to the liberating of the captives. The nature of the beast is empowered by sin, and the message of the religious leaders has not emancipated the conscience of those who believe in me. It is the sin conscience that must be dealt with. It is the sin issue that must be fully realized as the open door to satanic power in the soul of them who believe. My nature will make war with the beast within the soul of men and will execute judgment upon the beast. Be prepared, for many shall be offended in the last days, and it will be I that is causing the offense. Those who are righteous indeed will be an offense to those who are religious indeed. So what is God saying here? God is wanting to deal with the sanctification of every one of our lives. In the day of shaking, we need to make sure that we're clean before God, that the sin issue has been dealt with in full by the cross of Jesus Christ and by the shedding of his blood, that you and I, which says in Corinthians, come out of her, my people, and touch not the unclean thing. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Yes, the nature of the beast is in the fallen, Adamic human nature. The beast nature is in the fallen creation, the fallen species of Adam. You and I have all been in Adam, and we have all had a beastly nature, human nature, which is contrary to God. It's called a carnal mind, which is enmity and hostility against God. And yet when we've been born again, the purpose of God was to give us a new nature. That's what born again means, that I no longer have the fallen nature of Adam guiding my life. I have the new nature of Christ now in seed form coming into my heart. I've been born again by a supernatural seed, and that seed is Christ. And so that seed must develop a full-blown new nature. That's why the Word of God in the New Testament continually calls us to put off the old man, the old nature, and put on the new man or the new nature. There are only two men in the earth, ladies and gentlemen. There is Adam and there is Christ. Christ is the firstborn of a new species of mankind, and God is wanting to bring you and I. We were born in Adam, we're born again into Christ, and his nature now is taking root in our lives. It's known as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, the first thing in this word, I'm coming to shake up the approved social order of the day. God is saying in this first part, there's a standard that men have erected, but it's not my standard. What is the standard of God? You and I know that if we read our Bibles in Ephesians chapter 4, that the standard that God has called you and I to is Christ himself. This is not the standard of good people. This is not a standard that religion brings so high and says, if you do our creed, if you follow our set of rules, then you're going to be okay. No, there's only one standard by which you and I are going to be judged, and that standard is Christ. This is awesome. And so God has to shake up the religious world of his inability to bring the people to the fullness of the stature of Christ, which is Ephesians 4 altogether. The purpose of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher is to equip the saints to bring them to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. And there is a ministry of religion in the world today that is not doing that. And that's what this word was saying. Religious leaders, blind religious leaders, blind to the fact that their job is to bring the church to the fullness of the stature of Christ. So these blind religious leaders are leading the blind masses, and they're both falling into the ditch, which means they're falling short of the purpose of God. Yet there remains a true ministry of the Spirit to equip the saints of God to bring them to the full stature of Jesus Christ that is alive and well in the earth today. So let's get that under our belt, and let's go to number two in this writing. I am going to exceed all bounds of decency and reasonableness. I'm going to exceed, look at that, all bounds of what we call decent and reasonable. Follow my life. Look at me, said Jesus. Was I approved and acceptable to the approved social order of my day? Was I subject to those who were in control of the day? Was the Roman government my head? Were the religious leaders of Judaism my head? No. My only supreme was my Father, and I always did what my Father told me to do, even at the risk of upsetting the standard order of the times. Yes, it was I that entered into the temple and turned over the table of the money changers. This was an acceptable practice for those Jews at that time, but their practices were not ordained of my Father. What practices? Selling sacrifices in the temple of God. It was I that caused outrage in the hearts of those who would take me to the cliff to throw me down the mountain. It was I that stirred the crowds into chaos and confusion, causing divisions among men. It was I who upset the religious mindset of the day when healing on the Sabbath and doing good to those who were in need. So what is the Lord saying? He's saying, look at my life. And that's what you and I are to look to. If we're going to rise to the standard of Christ, we have to become like him. And yet in his day, he did not walk on the earth to please men. You know, when there was an approved order of things in the eyes of men, well, God was determined to shake it up. We're calling in our generation, for example, an approved social order. We legalize abortion. It's acceptable because government made it acceptable. The world was silent about it. Now 500 million babies have been murdered in the womb. We've now made an acceptable, approved social order of men marrying men, women marrying women, men changing their bodies into women, vice versa. And because of the silence of the church, this is now the approved, acceptable social order of the day. But it's not acceptable to God. And God is going to raise up a people to walk with him like Jesus to shake it up because it's not right. Pretty clear sense to me. It should to you too. So continuing on in the word, Jesus was saying, it was I that caused offense in the hearts of the hypocrites. Yes, it was I, and I say unto you that I am going to upset the world again, and I'm going to turn it upside down. I am going to shake the world of all its social graces and practices that are an offense and abomination to my Father. Come on, that's a supernatural word in a supernatural moment. Why? It's the timing of this. 14 years ago, this was written. It's coming out today, and it's complementing everything that the prophets around the world are saying. 2,000 years ago, I sent a people into the world, and they, according to my will, turned the world upside down. So it is on this, the third day, that I am going to release my people once again from the caves of obscurity who have hid from the religious leaders of this day and bring them out into the open. And oh, what an offense they shall be to all the social orders men have labored so hard to erect and put in place. Consider my servant David and the men that went out to meet him in the caves of Adullam. These were not the kind of men that were subjected to the religious order of Saul, and neither will these be that I release in this hour. Surely, I say to you that they will enter into your places of worship and contend with all that is not of my Father. They will be an offense to many and will reveal the hate and control in the hearts of the leaders who have refused to let my people go. And I must say that the religious order of the day is denominationalism, where if you don't belong to our denomination, if you don't belong to our church, then you're not going to heaven. If you don't believe in our creed, if you don't believe in our doctrine, you're going to hell. Well, it's time to set the captives free. And where are many captives? They're in churches all over the world today. You know, I'm reading this for the first time this morning. I did not have time to prepare this part. And I'm just in awe of what I'm reading. God is saying, I'm going to shake. I'm going to upset the world. Wow. I'm just amazed at the timing of this. Continuing on, consider my servant Joseph. He was thrown into prison by his older brothers. Surely, he shall arise in the earth, having great authority, and will rule over those older brothers in the days to come. Yes, those who were an insult to them because of their pride and jealousy will bow their knees to them and will acknowledge their authority and will know of a truth that I have loved them with an everlasting love from before the eons of time, or else they shall perish without a word. Let it be known that I am an offense to the world, for the world is surely an offense to me. Now, sons and daughters of God, are you getting your Father's heart here? The Lord is not impressed with the works of men. He is not impressed with the strength of man. He takes no pleasure in the strength of man. The nations are but a drop in the bucket to him, said the prophet Isaiah. Do you hear it, son of God? Do you hear it, daughter of God? The Father is not subject to this world. This world in its present form, come on, this world in its present form is a major stench in the nostrils of our Father. It is an offense to him, the way that this world is being conducted. Now, he's going to bring new management, and the heavens and the earth are going to be under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennial reign. And you and I, who are overcomers, are going to rule and reign. Yes, the earth is going to be under new management very soon. But right now, God is about to bring something to the church, the true church. And they are going to manage and steward this move of God that's going to affect this earth while it's being shaken. I continue on. The Lord said, I have watched the world and have watched my people in the world and those who claim to be mine. I ask, what have you learned since you believed? Have you not yet departed from that which is an offense to me? Have you not read that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of mine? You have not yet come out of her, my people. Therefore, you shall incur judgment against yourselves, for I have determined to destroy Babylon. I am not speaking of the Babylon in the Middle East, but the Babylon in the middle of your heart. I am speaking to your Babylonian ways and mindsets. When I walked upon the earth, I did not call attention to the Roman authorities, but to the condition of men's hearts. Yes, I am coming to topple that which appears before men as most religious. That which is so acceptable today is an abomination to me. That which has become the social order of the day, the acceptable form of worship, is coming to an end. For I have determined to finish the house that has been in building for 2,000 years. Yes, out of the ashes will arise a new building, complete and perfect, a people who are in the exact image of my Father. I am not concerned with social graces and what is acceptable to men. I am only concerned with that which is belonging to my Father. How will I come? I will come to you in the form of men and women. I will come to you with great power and anointing. When once I release my reserved ones, I come. I come in them to stand before the multitudes in order that I may bring truth to my temple. I come, surely I come. You know, there are moments where we just stand in awe of what God is doing, and I would pray, it would be my deepest desire and hope for the people listening to this message around the world, that you're not an American, you're not this, you're not that. You're a kingdom son and daughter of God. You are a member of the body of Christ. You are part of the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones. We have got to get this so clear in our understanding that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, this world is not your friend. And if you make this world your friend, then you are an adulterer. And this is true for anybody. This including the man that's behind the microphone here. Anybody that claims to belong to Jesus Christ cannot be a friend to this world. There is no allegiance. There is no alliance, because the world is an offense to God. The decoration of this present order is a horrible stench, once again, in the nostrils of God. And to line yourself with this world, to accept, to tolerate, to be a part of in any way, of the things that the world is doing, to be silent, to be quiet, to let it just go on and say nothing as a son and daughter of God, there's a problem. There's a problem. And you will find yourself, and I would find myself, under judgment. In other words, when the world is shaken, we're going to get hurt. When the great tribulation comes, it's going to lay stripes upon us. I'm telling you that God is not a respecter of man. He does not care about men in the world that offend him and defy him. He wants to raise up sons and daughters. He wants to give you and I an assignment in this hour to steward what he's about to bring on this earth. And it is something that is extremely powerful. It's powerful. Shall we move on and go to number three? My presence will be very shocking and offensive in this day. A heavy blow will come to the earth. For heaven has witnessed the actions of men in the earth, and their actions have been weighed in the balance. I will cause to stagger all nations by the news they shall hear. What men have deemed as good taste shall surely become bitter by what I am about to do. Indeed, that which was once approved of men and acceptable in the eyes of the admirers shall become a revolting offense, even disgusting. My people, who are seated with me in heavenly places, are prepared to appear in the earth before the eyes of men. These shall be the reason for the shock syndrome that will come. For that which was once accepted in my house by men shall be seen as a detestable thing in comparison to the holiness that my sanctified ones shall walk in. Their presence shall reveal the disgusting abomination that has been hidden in the hearts of men while doing many outward works of righteousness. I say that those works of outward righteousness shall be seen for what they truly are, mere religious robes covering the filth of an unsanctified life. My pure presence within my beloved ones shall cause the heart to fail in those who are unrepentant. Let me tell you what I was thinking as God was revealing these things. When Daniel, one of the most righteous men on the planet, came into the presence of an angel, that angel came out of the presence of God with such glory that Daniel fell like a sick, dead man because of the anointing, because of the glory, because of the holiness of that angel that came out of the presence of God. And you, brother, and you, sister, in this hour, God is about to impart a sanctifying anointing, a soul cleansing anointing. And in one moment, your life is going to change. You don't have to worry about years of catching up with those that are before you. You are an 11th hour saint, and there is a divine unction. There is a holy anointing that God is going to impart into your life that's going to break like an egg when you break the yoke. The yoke is going to move upon your life, and it's going to cleanse you in a moment. Your conscience, your subconscious, your motives, everything about you is going to change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and you're going to become the great servant of the Lord, a great steward of the Lord, a son of the Father. You are going to be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I declare it by the Spirit of God, and as a holy son, as a holy daughter, you are going to be standing in such transformable light and glory that those around you are going to feel uncomfortable if they don't have the same thing. And I tell you, they're going to come to your light and the brightness of the glory of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm running out of time here. I've got to move on. I've got to move on. Praise God. Do I need to move on? Yes, I think I need to move on. Well, here we go. Here we go. Number four, my appearing shall be violent in action and disposition. When I come, I will come with a violent disposition that will cause men to pale and pine away. For I will take the nations by violence, and I will destroy that which is false with a strong overthrow. How will I come? I will appear through my servants, the prophets. Their words shall be as a hammer, violently breaking in pieces that which is an abomination to my Father. A destroying fire shall come out of their mouths to the burning up of all chaff in the hearts of men. There will be no arrogance when they come. Those who would oppose their words will come under swift judgment. For these are my battle axes, my weapons of war, who have been reserved for a time such as this. Yet it is I who am working in them beyond their own understanding. They have yielded to my will and have surrendered their lives so that I may live in and through them. It will be I who is contended with by those who would oppose them. I have said that violent men take the kingdom by force, and it will be at this time that the kingdom shall be taken by those full of divine energy and power. Satan shall be cast out of the heavenlies, thrust down into the pit. I am speaking to the hearts of men, for it is within the heart that all evil comes, not outwardly in the skies above, but within the very soul of man, that Satan has taken his seat along with the beast and the false prophet. These evil spirits have held the dominion, but shall now come under a violent blow and shall shake them from their high places in order to release my kingdom in the hearts of those who believe. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, on this 14th day of December 2017, number five, because I am going to exceed all bounds of right, morality, and decency known to man, I will be intolerable to the modern religious and social leaders of this day. My people, hear me. What has been erected as decent, moral, acceptable of men is truly an abomination to me. You live in a time where men call evil good and good evil, bitter sweet and sweet bitter. It is a day wherein light is called darkness and darkness is called light. Because of these conditions, I will come as an intolerable force of emptying magnitude. I will so completely overturn that which is hypocritical that nothing will remain. Understand that what I have tolerated for so long will no longer be tolerated. In my intolerance, I will lead a militia of chosen warriors through whom I will shake the earth. Many will find my ways intolerable from behind the pulpit in these moments of time, for many in the congregation shall be offended because of the righteousness that flows from the minister's lips. Yes, I have ministers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal, who will demonstrate my glorious power in these days. To them shall many flock. For the true shall know my voice in and through them and will know them by their fruits. Man has played with power greater than himself, and by so doing has opened the gate to a great flood of evil. But no man has ever witnessed the magnitude of my intolerance as what shall be witnessed in these days. My presence will become unbearable to the wicked. My words will be too severe for the hypocrites. I will appear as a cruel one to those who have been cruel. Many will not be able to bear with me, yet to my beloved shall I appear with an intolerable love and grace. Yes, many will not be able to bear my love, mercy, and grace that I will bestow upon them, and these shall be swept away in rapturous moments in my glory. These shall be overwhelmed with my love and blessings. Many great and wonderful blessings shall abound to their account, and their inheritance shall be released unto them. These are they who have come to maturity and have grown up beyond the mere religious practices of many. These are my sons and daughters who will set the creation free, even as I did when I walked upon the earth. Somebody shout hallelujah. I believe it's true. I believe it's true. So that's part two of a 10-part mini-series of It Is High Time. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not getting it right now, God has complimented the word in this hour. Come on, I know you get it. I know you get it. What I want to do, I've got just a few minutes left here, about 5 or 6 minutes, if anybody would like to call into the broadcast. And what did you just hear? What just happened in the spirit realm as these words are shooting through the atmosphere? What is going on in your heart? How are these words touching you? The number to call, 818-369-0326. I want to shout out to Germany, Berlin, Germany, to my friend Robert Schuller. Robert Schuller called in yesterday in a Twitter feed from Germany saying he's been listening to the broadcast. So, Mr. Schuller, though we've never met in the flesh, we're meeting in the spirit today. God bless you. And all the people listening around the world, what did you have to hear today? What did you hear today? Number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad, and I will bring you in so that you may share whatever it is that's in your heart. I would love to hear. I believe that we are witnessing a bona fide miracle. And as I shared last night at Bible study, a miracle is not always, oh, I got $1 million. No, no, no. Miracles are normally in the context of the timing of an event, the timing of these prophetic words that were written 14 years ago, coming into light of this moment, complementing everything that's being said is supernatural. It is God saying to those who have an ear to hear, a heart to understand, and an eye to see, this is ready to happen, folks. This global shaking is ready to happen. And you, as a son and daughter of God, do not have to be afraid of this moment. You have to position yourself and align yourself to steward what is coming. It's awfully quiet out there today. It's awfully quiet. In just a few minutes, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Patricia Joy, and she's going to continue on here on the Omega Radio Network. But love to hear from you today. 818-369-0326 is the number to call if you have any questions or comments. If not, you know, I'm going to be talking with the Omega Radio team today, and we're going to find out the numbers and the places where people are listening to the Omega Radio Network. I really believe that God has raised up this Omega Radio Network. I do. And it's flowing into your life today. It's flowing into your heart today. And if there's something that you want to share, maybe there's something you don't agree with, maybe you want to just add to things, that's what we do here. We open the lines up. We're not afraid of answering questions. You know, a lot of people don't open their studios for questions because they could be some very hard questions. But if we're standing in God's truth, in God's light, there's no need to be afraid of questions or disagreements. Disagreements are fine. You know, someone may say, well, that's not the time we're in right now, and explain to me why, and we could have that conversation, right? But you know, and I know, I'm convinced, I'm thoroughly convinced, God's ready to shake everything, everything. And I'm here to make sure that you and I are standing on the only foundation that cannot be shaken, the kingdom. You know, this language that we're talking here the last couple of days, this is kingdom language. This language is not for mere Christianity. This language is for sons. This language is for daughters of the Most High God. This language is for kingdom saints, not kingdom in the outer, you know, cosmetic stuff. This is where we, our spirits dwell in this kind of conversation and this kind of understanding. I've got 2 minutes before I pass the mic today. If there's a call out there, we want to make sure to receive it. If not, Mamma Mia. That's all I can say. God is good. God is great. And what I think I'll do, rather than just kind of laboring here at anything else to say, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Patricia Joy in just a moment. I'm going to go to a commercial break. We're going to continue on the Omega Radio Network right here. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break with Patricia Joy Xavier. Hi, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier. Paul and I want to personally thank you for tuning in and listening to The Watchman. We depend on you to help spread the word and support our radio ministry. There are 4 ways you could get involved right away. Number 1, pray. Nothing moves mountains like the prayerful support of the saints. Second, help spread the word. Share the URL omegaradio.org with your friends on Facebook and through your email. Tell them you're listening like your life depends on it, and they should too. Third, you can partner with us. If this program ministers to you, then click the Donate tab and prayerfully consider a donation to help us expand this program and build our radio studio. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly pledge, every dollar will be used to better equip you, the saints. Just go to our Donate tab on the homepage. We thank you in advance and may God richly bless you.
Do you enjoy listening to The Watchman? It's our goal on each and every show to interpret the latest news and events through a biblical lens, but we're not alone. In fact, we have an army of like-minded radio hosts, ministers, and prophets to better equip you, God's people, to learn and take action when and where it's needed. Click the lineup tab on our homepage to see a full listing of daily programs. Whether it's Rick Wiles on True News or Jay Sekulow with the ACLJ, we work together to bring you Omega Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the world. Please join our effort to help spread the word and support this radio ministry. Send us an email and tell us what's on your mind and how this network is ministering to you. Then call into The Watchman weekdays 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time and join the conversation. We want to know what you think. The number to call is 818-369-0326, then hit 1, or go back to omegaradio.org and hit the call-in button, then press 1.
Blessings to all. Oh my goodness, was that not an incredible program from Pastor Vincent Xavier? I am in awe. And you know what's so amazing about it? These words were given to him 14 years ago, and he sat on them all this time, waiting for the revelation knowledge to be exposed. And here it is. It has come. I am so excited about what I heard. I just don't know how to really and truly download it. But it's going to get into my spirit, and it's going to work against my unredeemed soul, if there's anything left in there unredeemed. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. We are on chapter one, laying down the foundation. We have just started my book, The Power We Have Been Given. It is so important to know and to understand that power. And I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. And we are on, as I said earlier, the first chapter. And I'm going to go back to some of the things that we mentioned and talked about. And it was, where in the body do demons dwell? We're talking about evil spirits. We're talking about demonic presence. We're talking about cohorts of Satan himself. And this is what we are beginning to understand. The Bible tells us, my people perish from a lack of knowledge, not the world, his people. And so the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want them to understand about the workings of the wild one, the evil one, so that they will understand and know how deceptive he is and how clever he is to bring us in a direction of deception. Okay? So these spirits do dwell in people. And it was mentioned earlier that they are still afflicting Christians. Don't we see it all around us? Have you not felt great fear at times when things didn't go quite well for you, maybe in your family environment or at the workplace? Have you not felt very pained, hurt from rejection? All these things are the workings of the evil one. They're not your mental degradation. They are the workings of the evil one to try to get you mentally degraded. Anyway, where in the body do they dwell if you're a Christian? We went through that. We dissected it. Do not they dwell in your body or where? They dwell in your spirit? No. If you have sincerely committed your life to Christ, your spirit is subject to divine influence. Your soul is the emotional life. Vexed by generational sin, fleshy lusts, influence and ignorance, and your own desires and delight in evil. That is what is being delivered in your life. That is why you are being delivered. Your spirit is a spirit that has begun to rejuvenate by the light of Jesus Christ to deliver your soul, to take hold of all these influences and cleanse the soul realms. You know, devils do not dwell in a man's spirit. Devils are spirit if we're speaking of a born-again spirit. And if your spirit has not been subject to the Holy Spirit, then devil spirits can take over and completely possess you. So we went through that yesterday. And then we went through the new birth process. And it also begins with the restoration of the person's soul. In Psalms 23:3, it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And since the fall of man, our souls have been in death because we were born in spiritual death through the sin of Adam. So that's our inheritance. That's our human inheritance. And then we spoke of the natural and unredeemed state your life is guided by. What is that unredeemed state your life is guided by? It's your feelings, your emotions, and your human reasoning. This is why the soul has to be cleansed and made whole. This is why you need redemption. This is why we should not move by our feelings, but by the word of God, which is perfect truth. And most of us were born into families that didn't have all wisdom and knowledge of the word of God. And the reason that was brought up yesterday is because when I put someone through a deliverance, this is where we first go. Where were you first hurt? Where did the unredeemed mind become a reality? In generational bloodline curses, which brought you under the control of the same through your mother and father. And if your experience hasn't been a beautiful and good one, which hardly anyone has experienced except a very few, and even at that, I wonder how much truth has been spoken about it. It could be just in a person's thoughts and desires. But everyone has gone through some form of rejection and hurt or pain by their parents. This is their first experience with knowing. And so we talked about that. And the word of God brings us into the perfect will and truth of his love, because that's what we're all looking for. We all desire to be loved. And if we were loved well by our mothers and fathers, praise be to God. But how many have? How many have felt rejection and hurt and pain from our parents? I dare say the majority, the great majority. We need deliverance. Yes, we do. We need deliverance, not by a psychologist or psychiatrist. We need deliverance from a mental thwarting from the time we have been small children, maybe even in the womb, if we have been rejected by that thought through our mom or dad. So we'll go into that later at another time. But now we are talking about the renewed mind. And how does it become renewed? The renewed mind is synonymous with the renewed soul. How do I know that? In Ephesians 4:23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. A renewed mind has the mind of Christ, a mind that is at peace, a mind that is right and sound, not a mind that is distorted, tired, haughty, or reprobate. And how do we obtain this mind of Christ? Because that's the Christ mind. We have the mind of Christ according to the word of God when we are born again, when we have arrived into his kingdom. We acquire it through his word. His word gives us the knowledge we need. The more we study his word through the leading of the Holy Spirit, the more our minds will become like his, cleansed from false concepts and ideas and thwarted darkness. So the renewed mind is synonymous with the soul. The mind and the soul in the Greek translation are one and the same. So the renewed mind is synonymous with the soul, the renewed soul. So there we go. Now let's talk about the carnal mind, in which we have all been part of. The carnal mind is a mind that dwells on worldly or fleshy things. What is that? What does it mean? It is a sick mind. It thinks all kinds of defeating thoughts, such as unworthiness, as well as thoughts of sexual pleasure in that monetary way, in the worldly way, not in the pure and holy way God meant sexuality to be. His is a mind receiving its direction from the unholy spirit, Satan, if it is a carnal mind. The carnal mind is always in deception. It is puffed up, thinking it knows truth and is intelligent, when it is only in deception and cannot understand the truth. What? Wow. Most of us, in fact, all of us have been there. Most of the world has a carnal mind still, and they do not know truth because they do not have the mind of Christ. Yet they think they know everything, and that's where pride emanates from. And cause Satan to fall? The scriptures tell us. Pride, his great pride. We can simply watch television and see this occurring all the time, day in and day out. We can see it where we work and everywhere we go. And all too often we can see it in ourselves, this great, incredible, prideful personage that we have become. Not as the word pride means in good things, but as the word pride means in the attitude of the heart of who we think we are. I am amazed to see how truly deceived we can become at times. It astonishes me to see what people will agree to or with when they are in deception, what they agree to. So let us look at the outcome of the natural, unredeemed man, because this is where Satan has his heyday. Each and every one of us can acknowledge the fact that we do not know what is going to happen to us in the future. We live in hope, but we really do not know. And the only thing we have available to us is what someone has told us about a particular situation. If we have not experienced it with our natural minds, if we have not experienced it that way, we can either accept the information or reject it based upon how it is presented to us. When it comes right down to it, the only thing we can hold to as being absolute truth is what we have experienced through the leading of the Holy Spirit as confirmed by the Word of God. This is a supernatural work. It's not a work of psychology. It is a supernatural work in the supernatural realm of the Holy Spirit. So we, as humans, have this situation wherein we are influenced by two spiritual entities. The first is God, who created all things for the benefit of man. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God and is given to us through the wisdom and knowledge of the Holy Spirit. However, contrary to God is another spiritual entity called Satan, who has resolved to do one thing, to deceive you and me into a position of destruction. Satan's one goal is to destroy you or me, and his only method is through well-concealed lies that look so much like truths. The great deception. And I say to you tonight or today that this is a time such as that. The deception is running rampant. If you are in your natural mind and are not seeking redemption and knowledge from God, you are obviously going to receive information from the other source. Self will exercise two choices. If it is not from God, it will come from the father of all lies. And who is that? That's the devil himself, Satan. As I stated earlier, we all can see the situation so plainly throughout the world. We experience this in our own lives. When we lie, Satan will mind with evil thoughts in order that he might destroy man. That's his method. Have we lied? Have you lied? Have I lied? Well, we experience this in our own lives when we do lie. And I dare say most of us have been in that habit until we have been delivered and overcame that demonic presence, because he's the father of lies. So where is it coming from? Where is it emanating from? Satan will penetrate man's mind with evil thoughts in order that he might destroy man. And he's been extremely successful for 6,000 years. But the Lord, 2,000 years ago, had made a declaration unto us through his crucifixion that we no longer need to live in deception and the lies of the devil. But he gave us a way out through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes into our lives, delivers us from all deceptions, all the lies that we have downloaded ourselves with. And we become a new person. We become wise and knowledgeable in the ways of truth, God's way, by his word, through his word, in his word. Because his word has no lie. It is pure. It is perfect. So we must be convinced that Satan is the great counterfeiter and that he can counterfeit only what is true. There would be nothing else for him to counterfeit, would it? Reasonable? Understandable? I think so. Of course, we must also know that Satan desires to be worshipped. That was his prideful desire. And he must come as close to the truth as possible in order to deceive us without being recognized. Very clever. Very clever. Yes, he is very clever. And he has been around to deceive mankind till this very day since the fall of man, little over 6,000 years. So he knows, he has an intelligence, and he knows how to deceive if he can get away with it. This is why I wrote my book, that we may begin to understand the great deception and begin to live lives as overcomers, overcoming what? The world, the devil, and the flesh, our old nature. Our old nature that always called us or caused us difficulties. Satan would be too obvious if he came to us and said, worship me. Though some have done it. But the way he does it is more clever. He says, I will give you your desires if you will make a covenant with me. Most of us would be very fearful to make that kind of agreement. But Satan is not interested in the people of the world. He is already their father, according to the word. And he has already made converts and entered into a covenant with them. They're not always aware of it, however. But one day they will be. For as the word says, you cannot serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other. Well, all who are listening, you need to know that Satan is interested in people who have a personal relationship with their Father God through Christ Jesus, because they are the true Christians and the children of light. If we are true believers of Christ, we must bring this all-piercing light to the peoples of the world and the places of satanic darkness, revealing his sinister plans of deception and destruction. That is what I am trying to accomplish. And I need your help in that the understanding of truth is necessary. Explaining with everything within me for you to understand that he, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. And that light is to put on the lights within our conscious mind and our subconscious mind, our soul realm, to turn the light on of what is true and what is not true, and the great deception that this world has been in. And Jesus Christ paid a price for it. I want to reveal his sinister plans of deception and destruction to the church, which most do not know and understand because of erroneous teachings. And Satan will try to stop the truth from going forth. This is the reason that he must come to us looking very much like the righteous. And what do we call that in Scripture? The angel of light. He comes as an angel of light. He comes as looking right. He comes with his own reasoning. His tactics of deception must be carried out so cleverly and with such cunning that mere human reason and thought cannot see the difference. That's why we need the light. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? He is a personage. He is the person of God Almighty. No man without the power of the Holy Spirit, through the gifts given to man by the Holy Spirit, can discern the light from the deception of Satan's darkness. He's too clever. Most of what is discussed concerning satanic cults and the like is cleverly used to get our eyes off the real dangers. And you think that it isn't available in this day and age? There are satanic cults everywhere. Everywhere, in government, in Hollywood, in the universities. They're there. And they're deceiving multitudes upon multitudes. Open your eyes. Begin to understand and see what's truly going on. If you are a Christian, you need to hear this. And even if you're not, you need to understand you must be born again from the darkness you have been in. Well, the true threat is the spirit of Satan operating through what we term the church. That's the greatest threat. Many times disguised as great religious leaders or pastors, alleged prophets, miracle workers, teachers of the word, on and on. How sad. But where else would it be profitable? As I said, he already owns the world and the people thereof that do not know Christ Jesus as their personal Savior. So he would have to come into the church to deceive as best possible. That's why, again, I wrote my book. When I first heard about these things, I began to understand there's something going on that is so deep and so dark that multitudes and multitudes of people within the church do not understand the true light of Jesus Christ and think they have religion, think they are Christians. And truthfully, they are not. They live in both worlds, and you can't do that. As I said earlier, you'll love one and hate the other. You can't be a house divided. If you're divided, you fall. So let us look at the life of Jim Jones. He was one of those that have been deceived and caused others to be deceived in the church. Many have not heard of him. But I tell you this, those who have remember him well. So let's look at the life of Jim Jones. As many of you know, Jim Jones had a Pentecostal background and apparently believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He was ordained through a well-known denomination, apparently did good work through his ministry in Indianapolis, Indiana. Visibly, he did lots of good work. And many who said they were Christians agreed. It was told that he helped the lowly, downtrodden, and did much work within the black and minority communities. To the natural eye, it appeared that everything he did was directed by Jesus. We can now see with our natural eye how deceptive the works of Jim Jones were. Also, We know now that the real work of Jim Jones, as led by Satan, destroyed the lives of many unsuspecting and undiscerning men, women, and children in what eventually took place in South America through Jim Jones became clearly visible. You know, the darkness will always be revealed. Yet today, we are watching thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions being deceived and misled in our churches because of the many ministers that are self-appointed professionals rather than God-appointed and ordained. Do you see it? Do you get it? These men and women are false prophets. The Lord talks about it. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They're hirelings. Well, a church the size of Jim Jones did not erupt overnight. It was working of Satan over a period of time. This is a visible warning to us that we must be very alert through the discernment of spirits as given by the Holy Spirit. Do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How many times have I brought up the works of the Holy Spirit? It is going to be necessary. You must have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me specify that it does not matter what denomination you belong to, for we individually are the only church God has established, you and I. And we must find out whether or not we have any deception in us. If we do, we must be quick to rid ourselves of the lies and turn to the truth because He is coming for a church without spot and wrinkle. He is coming for the person without spot or wrinkle who claims Him as his Savior. This is why my husband and I, as ministers of God's word, have struggled so hard to attain to the standard of perfection that we have been called to through the washing of the word of God. And don't tell me we cannot be perfect. The word of God said, ye must be perfect as I am. So we have been doing this. We have been washing ourselves through the word of God so that Christ may present to himself a glorious church, one that is undefiled, because that is what he's coming for. However, if we cannot be deceived and believe that we can do whatever we want just because we once walked up to an altar and raised our hands and said, yes, Jesus, I receive you into my heart, we must also become Christ-like in our actions and repent from all sin as it is revealed to us. This is the working of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is coming for a bride, his church, which is without spot or wrinkle, meaning without sin. He already took our sin. We have been cleansed from our sin. Go and sin no more. And if we do sin, we have an advocate. All we have to do is say, Lord, I'm truly sorry, and mean it. And he cleanses us one more time from our unrighteous way. And then we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The bride, that church, you. To my knowledge, nowhere in the word is it a custom for the husband to prepare for the bride before marriage. It is the bride who must prepare herself for marriage. It is her responsibility. Are we, are you the bride of Christ? Is this a true for you? I don't know. I am asking that. Is it a truth for you? Okay, if it is, let's get on with the program. The Holy Spirit has been given unto us to help and enable us to prepare properly for his coming. Now, if you have questions regarding what you have heard, if you wish to order my book, which will transform your life, please email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. Xavier spelled X-A-V-I-E-R. patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. God bless you.